So then when I was, of course, came school-going age, I went to the national school here, and when I was finished that, I went to Sing Street Christian Brothers, you know. And then in 1943, I joined the staff of the New Ireland Assurance Company, Dawson Street, number 12 Dawson Street, and I was there for 47 years.
My goodness, yeah. Selling insurance all your life. Selling insurance all
Yeah,
your life.
yes. Now, that New Ireland was a company that was founded in Frongoc internment camp in 1917. The New Ireland Assurance Company was founded by a number of the prisoners there. They were men like M.W. O'Reilly, who was the managing director of it. He was a native of this village here. Dr. Jim Ryan, you know, was former Minister of Agriculture afterwards. Frank Thornton, who was number three in Collins' intelligence organisation. Like Liam Tobin was two, Collins was one, Tobin was two, Thornton was number three.
And all these men were
These were
in
all
Frongoc,
interned, you see, in Frongoc, and they all got together and decided that when they'd come out, that they'd found an insurance company. M.W. O'Reilly was the mover because he had worked in the Pearl Insurance Company in Wexford, and like he understood the business, you see. But I mean, they understood that all the money was being collected here and going out of the country, you know, like you see. And they say what they wanted, what they wanted to get an Irish company that would keep the money in Ireland, you see. So they opened in 1918, and they continued until they were taken over by the Bank of Ireland, what, some about 17 or 18 years ago now, you know, nearly. No, it wouldn't be that, be about 15 years ago back.
Right, and so you joined them in 1943, and who, can you talk to me about the management and who was there at the
Yes,
time?
at that
And yeah,
time. Well, M.W.
the
O'Reilly was still
annuals.
alive at that time. He
Can
was, he was still alive at that time, and he was active in the company as managing director, and his board had Frank Thornton, who became the general manager afterwards. He had M.J. Campbell, who was secretary. M.J. Campbell was a man who was involved in the Howth gun running and was a fought in Easter Week. Tomáso Nualon was another man who was there. He was similarly involved in the. He wasn't in the, I don't think he was in the Howth gun running, but he was involved in the Easter Week and afterwards, you know. And it were all the most of the leaders at the time were engaged, were involved in New Ireland at its foundation. Michael Staines, who was the first Garda Commissioner. Collins himself, of course, was interested in, Michael Collins was interested in the company too, naturally, you see. But like he wasn't on the board of that. But there was also a man named Coleman, who was later imprisoned after he was imprisoned in 1918 or 19 by the British, and he died in Usk prison in England, you know. And he was one of the early directors too. My name McQuilcher, he died early in life too. And they set up the an insurance collecting society, you know, like a life assurance, of course it was, and gradually, they eat into the support the British companies had, you see. They had a very good staff, mainly men who were attached to the movement at the time, of all both sides of the fence at that time. They were all united in their work, you know, and they became the second largest insurance company in the country, you see, the Irish Life being the larger one, you know. And it was the Irish Assurance Company at that time, you know. Excuse me.
And this was an organization. Did it grow fast? Did it take
It
off?
didn't. It was slower taking off naturally, because what the it meant people had to go around the country, talk to the people. And if you had a policy with an English company, they'd say, "Give me your book, and we'll take on the policy on the same terms, you know. And the only difference was they weren't paying any premiums to the existing company, and paid them to the new company and got a new receipt book. You see that was tedious work, but it's amazing. It took off really in the, I suppose it was up to the late 30s or early 40s before the company began to expand, you know, greatly, because there were depression years, you see, after the 1918 and the troubled years, and the years in the 1920s were bad years from an economic point of view, you know. The state was in turmoil, the people was on large-scale unemployment, people didn't have money. And then a particularly bad year, strangely enough, was 1932 for
insurance. Economic war.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the reasons. And another reason was that they always maintained in the Dublin area here that people saved up to celebrate the Eucharistic Congress, which was held in that year, you see.
That's true. So that money took a lot out of the economy, and it did.
And that money then was invested in Irish industry, you see. Government bonds and Irish industry and all that, you see. It progressed from there, you see.
But it comes to the stage where you went into it. Were you travelling around the countryside?
No. I went in as a clerk in the industrial accounts department. That was the audit and accounts. They used to audit the agents' books occasionally. You know, the men were collecting, and then the audits were checked out in the head office, you see.
Yeah.
And that's what that staff was doing. And also keeping an eye on the weekly accounts and all that, the money collected and arrears and all that type of thing, you see. And after years then, I was transferred to a new department that was set up called Statistics. It was set up, and there was one of my colleagues became head of the department, and I went in as what they call chief clerk, which is he's second in command in it, you see. And I was there for a number of years, and then I was moved to the personnel department where they were doing the staff work. And I was the chief clerk there, and the personnel officer returned, and I became the personnel officer, you see, for the company. And we did the personnel for Irish National as well. That was a sister company of New Ireland, the Irish National Insurance Company. It was did general insurance. The other one, New Ireland, was life. Mm. Yes, you see, yes.
And so you were in a perfect position then to see the I'm sure the workforce,
and so on. Yeah.
So can you, it'd be very interesting to know what was happening in the early 50s and right through the decade of the 50s.
Well, right through the decade of the 50s.
And 60s when you were...
The 50s and 60s were difficult years, but country was only getting on its feet then, you know. But in the war came, of course, 1939. That hit all the business, of course, as well. A number of the officers, of course, joined the army there was a appeal for volunteers. Quite a few of them joined the army. The company, any young man who joined in 1939, now this is before I came in, I didn't come in until 43, the company paid half their pay. Like if they went into the army, was only getting something like 6 and 2 pence a week. A private in the army, and whatever the balance was to bring him up to his whatever pay he'd be getting in the office was paid by the company.
They subsidised the army pay
for the men that from the company who joined, you see. And quite a number of them were, and a number of them were commissioned in the army, and a number of them stayed on afterwards. They remained on in the army. They never came back to the company, you know. They stayed on as soldiers, though they got full-time commissions, you know, peacetime commissions, you know.
Yeah, and
everybody in the wartime was temporary commission, you see. Yeah, yeah. Yes.